And you're still listening to Binary Forest 92.6 FM. My name is Brenno de Winter, and this is the second hour of the news roundup. Last hour, we had some technical difficulties, and not everybody was able to hear the stream. And for that reason, we are going to listen to the interview I had with hacker Iwin. And he was telling about the case that the Dutch legal system is bringing against him because of some denial of service attacks. So,
Iwin, you have been doing something very illegal according to media reports.
I took down several websites, one of them which included the server of the Dutch public prosecutor website, who were silly enough to tie it together with the Dutch police website and put it on one server and on the same IP.
You got caught.
Yep.
How does that work? Because I did a hack in January to make a journalistic point. I got a notification that the police wanted to talk with me in June. So if you did it in December, then you must have had such a letter in May.
I got it one day later.
So they were at your doorstep. And then they throw you at the ground, put your hands
No, they knocked on the door. They came in screaming, police, police. They ran into the front room first. My dad came down as I was sleeping. My dad came down, asked what he wondered what was going on. They were asking where I was. He sat in the back of the house, and they ran back out of the house actually, because if you open the back door, it basically covers the door to my room. So they ran back outside, came back in, and asked where is he then, and went back and went into the toilet together, all together. And then finally they came into my room. As I was already awake, obviously, I was pulling on some pants, and they said that I was under arrest for taking down several websites.
I know. So what did
well,
you use?
I personally used a program called HOIC. It's not a very spectacular tool, and there's many ways, obviously, to do it, but as long as it does the job for what I wanted to share my point, wanted to make my point with, I'm happy with it.
That means that if you use such a tool, I know shed lots of people who use such a tool. I know the low orbit cannon and other tools. Basically, you didn't do anything different than them.
Anyone, right? As I said, anyone can do it. Anyone that has the program on their computer and uses it is doing the same as I did.
So basically, all in all, you are really arrested for no other reason than making the public prosecutor not look good.
I think that's the reason, yeah, because I'm pretty sure that if I didn't take down the Dutch prosecutor's website, that I wouldn't have been arrested, because they wouldn't be interested in it.
Okay, you're out on the street now. How long did you spend in jail?
I spent about a day in jail, not too long.
Did they torture you?
No, even to a newspaper apparently said I got tortured. I didn't get tortured, but no, they treated me very nice, and except for the fact that, which is why the newspaper said I got tortured, or suggested that I got tortured. The light stays on, or stays half on, when you go at night, obviously for security reasons, I guess. So that was quite annoying, and I slept with a jacket over my head. But besides that, no torture at all, or they just treated me nice.
And now what?
Well, I'm still waiting to be prosecuted right now. I got notice that I'm going to be prosecuted, that they see reason to prosecute me. So I'm now waiting to be prosecuted, which they already said back in December that it could take up to maximum of 2 years before I even get to see the inside of the courtroom. So
that is pretty interesting. And then what sentence can you get maximum?
If I have to believe the media and the Dutch prosecutor, I can get a sentence up to a maximum of 6 years. So that's quite a bit, considering that murderers sometimes don't even get that much.
That is pretty stiff, and I can relate to your feeling, because you know that I have a similar case where I can also get up to 6 years in prison. Now knowing everything that we know right now, would you ever do this again?
It depends, but if I would go back in time, and I want to make sure that people know that they don't misunderstand this. If I would go back in time, which I can't because I don't have a time machine, but if I could, I would still do the same thing, but I would at least be more aware of the Dutch Prosecutor's website, which was my biggest mistake.
So you would take down my website, no problem, but one of the public prosecutors...
I'm going to stay away from any Dutch website. I would stay away from any Dutch website, sorry.
Would you be so kind and leave the website of Binary Voice, this radio station?
Oh yeah, I will leave that one alone.
Always a nice guy, Ewien. Probably he will have to go to court in December. Time for some music.
She says she likes my watch, but she wants Steve's AP, and she stay up all hours watching QVC. She said she loves my songs, she bought my MP3, and so I put her number in my bold BB. I got a black BM, she got a white TT. She wanna see what's hiding in my CK briefs. I tell her wear suspenders and some PVC, and then I'll film it all up on my JVC. Scene one, everybody get in your position. Pay attention and listen. We're trying to get this all in one take, so let's try and make that happen. Take one, action. For FHM, she like my black LV. We spilling LPR up on my APC. I'm in my PRPS and my night SBs. Raving with SHM, London to NYC. I got my visa and my visa, a diva and her dealer. Bitch, I'm up on the guest list with the Swedish house mafia. You can find me on a table full of vodka and tequila, surrounded by some bunnies, and it ain't fucking. I'll wake up in the morning with a mild case of amnesia. With a girl that like a girl like Lindsay Lohan and Queen Latifah. If you niggas are ballin', then boy I must be FIFA. And that's standard procedure from Miami to Ibiza.
And you're still listening to Binary Voice 92.6 FM. And of course, through a stream door through signal.hackerspaces.org. And if you have a DECT 1926. And of course, you can also stand in front of the tent and listen to the boxes. So basically, options enough to listen. Going a little bit through the news, and very interesting security incident. Cisco has been sending malware CDs through to customers for more than half a year, and that means that you're of course get infected by Cisco. Talking about getting infected, apparently Apple is claiming that not only Samsung but also Motorola is stealing their design and their misusing their patent, and they want their tablets off the market. Today, and you could hear that earlier in the show, there was a court case in the Netherlands that they tried to keep as silent as possible, but we had our reporter live there, and he explained that if Apple gets their way, all Galaxy Tabs and all Samsung phones are basically off the market. In other news, in Germany, a court decided ex parte, which means that there isn't a second party that can defend itself, to forbid the Galaxy Tab, and that means that for a couple of weeks, it is not allowed to import the devices. If that ultimately will stand depends on the questions of the patents, if they are valid or not. Andreas Udo de Haas earlier told today that in the Netherlands, basically the software is determining how it functions. And for the people that have followed the debate on software patents, they would remember that software patents are not allowed in Europe. So basically, here we are in many countries having lawyers deciding on the fate of the Galaxy Tab, not being a software patent case, but in fact turning out to be a software patent case. So that's the news currently ongoing. CCC has been opened and the first talks are on the way. And it will be that OpenLeaks will start to use their website very soon. Right now, it is open for hacking testing. And you're still listening to Binary Voice 92.6 FM. In the studio, totally embarrassed, Buck Blue and also GMC. Welcome. Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning, Buck. That's not totally true because I saw you driving around the camp already today.
That's true.
Yeah. You have been working as an archangel.
Yes. I've been coordinating all the angels to build up.
Okay, for those who don't know what an angel is, what is an angel?
Angels are it's what the name is for the nice volunteers here working at the camp, who do almost all the work that needs to be done, who are people at the entrance, the people who sell you tickets, the people who help you at the info desk, the people who connect your network, the people who power your power.
And come in the middle of the night to reconnect it if something goes wrong.
Yes, they work 24 hours a day and they do a real great job.
They absolutely do, don't they? And are you full of angels? Do you have enough? Do you need new angels?
We always need new angels because if you have been working a few hours to move a few hundred meters or kilometer of fence, you're a little bit tired. And then it's very nice that the next job will be done by someone else, even if it's a very light task.
If I were a responsible hacker and I wanted to be an angel, where would I go?
You would first of all read Wiki, then you have a little bit of an idea of what volunteering means and what kind of jobs we have. Then you would create yourself an angel account in engelsystem.de. There is some nice links on the Wiki, I guess about 50 of them. Yeah. And
always subtle.
Yes, and after you've done that, or if you want to create an account, you can go to the Angel shelter. It's a bunker. It's a very nice and cozy place. There's some food, there's water, there's hot
and
tea.
And I can testify that it is really worthwhile and to be an angel. I've even had situations where being an angel was life-changing because you once forced me to introduce a lecture. And that basically started off a big ride in the Netherlands, so it does pay off to be an angel.
Yeah, it somehow turned your life around, I guess.
We are definitely going to talk about that later this week. Right now it's time to some music on my machine, and that's especially for Erik de Hollander, and it's Johnny from Direct.
Thought I heard you say no strings attached, so low. But there you go, I bet you need the money. While the body is calling up your sleeve, you think I'm paranoid, well it's plain to see you dwell.
Important announcement, the Mater has arrived.
It's where the heart is. All I need to tell you today, Johnny, what's going on? Just tell me what's behind your cheap dark shades. I might spot a lie, you're so intoxicated. And what about the smart stains on your hands? The thing that I believe your innocence. So dwell in hell, home is where the heart is. Go!
And that's Johnny from Direct, and especially for Erik den Hollander, who's currently in the hospital. And I hope that next camp he will definitely be there and hang out as the great hacker. Talking about great hackers, in the studio is currently Nick Farr. Good afternoon.
How's it going?
It's going great. I hear we're going into space.
Yes, we will put a hacker on the moon in 23 years from this camp. And more near term, the more realistic goal is to have a completely free and open satellite-based internet system that hackers all over the world can use by the next camp.
How are we going to do that? By the way, are you joking?
No, I'm absolutely and completely dead serious. I think that the community that we have here, just walking around the camp and seeing all of the incredibly brilliant, incredibly creative, incredibly ingenious things that are going on in every square corner of this camp. I think, why wouldn't it be possible? Why wouldn't you think that the people who built all of these wonderful things can't find a way to launch a payload into orbit at a much, much, much cheaper way than the governments and militaries are doing it now?
And thus, we are going to build our own satellite system, actually, because you will need more than one satellite system in order to do that.
Well, more than one satellite, a constellation of satellites, and I believe this is absolutely possible. I think that we have the technical capability to design, to build, and to realize completely all of the technology needed to launch a satellite-based internet that people can just unfold a satellite dish in their house during an emergency or something like that, and achieve have an internet connection. Or here at the camp, for example, if you're here before the infrastructure is totally up, to be able to just get some things or send pictures of the camp, things like that. I think it's absolutely possible for us to be able to do this.
And do you expect government to stop us?
Everybody asks that question, and I don't think so. I really don't think it's in any government's interests to stop the creativity and the self-taught engineering skills of their people, of their hackers. I think that governments are starting to realize that hackers are a resource, and that's bad in its own way, but I don't think that the government is out to stop people who are trying to do something that governments have failed to do.
And then you said the second thing. We are going to put a hacker geek on the moon by 23 years from now.
Yes.
Kidding.
No, absolutely serious. It's absolutely possible. The only thing stopping hackers from doing that is thinking that it's not possible. The same thing happened with Hackerspaces 4 years ago. When I brought everybody here, or when I brought the Americans here on Hackers on a Plane to see the camp and to see the things that were going on, and then when they went on Hackerspaces tours after the camp, just like they're going to do on this one, I brought another set of Hackers on a Plane, and they're wonderful, and they're building things over in the Hackers on a Plane Village camp neighbor. They said 4 years ago, look, there's just no way. Hackers are too disorganized. They fight with each other too much. They create too much drama. I've been trying to do something like this for years. We did something like this. And as long as you put a stop to that, the doubting, the thinking that you can't do it, the sort of, and that's an antithetical way. That's not the hacker way. If a hacker tries a couple of different things against a piece of code and they don't work, does he just give up?
No, of course not. We are going to build more code.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Why you have that approach to code, why don't you have that approach to space exploration? It's just, space exploration requires software. We're good at that. It requires hardware. We're good at that. It requires building networks of people all over the world. We're good at that. It's an absolutely possible thing.
That would also make a huge dent in things that governments are trying to do. Think about ECTA, the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreements, trying to control the music that flows over the internet, the videos that are being exchanged, that type of stuff.
And when you look at the reality on the ground, that battle has already been lost. Your grandmother, my great aunt, knows how to use BitTorrent. She knows how to get movies. Nobody's going to stop her from doing that. That whole argument, It's over. I mean, people are going to be able to get any kind of media they want to get as long as they have an internet connection. That's just fact on the ground. everybody else, industry media, they're playing catch up, and they're doing it wrong. What they should be doing on it, what they should be doing is focusing on providing more value and more services to their customers instead of suing their customers.
How?
What other business survives by suing their customers?
Good question. Now we need to realize this. How are we going to do this?
It's going to happen. I know this sounds a little bit hokey. It sounds like, you know, I'm you know, having this wild dream like a crazy mad scientist or whatnot, but I think all it really takes is convincing people of the possibility of it. And when you look at a lot of hackerspaces and the efforts they're putting into space balloons, launching man-sized payloads into orbit, communicating with satellites, and even as Bernie pointed out during my presentation, amateur radio. People who are hackers under a different name have already launched their own satellites as side payloads to commercial satellites. It's not something, and they did that in the 1960s. And, you know, here we are 50 years later. It's absolutely possible for us to do this. There's the only thing stopping us is, just like with hackerspaces, the only thing stopping us is our own thinking that it can't be done.
How was the response to your talk?
Right now, outstandingly positive. Unfortunately, I wish I were more prepared and able to tell people places they could go or things they could do, but really, it's something that has to be self-realized. Hackers don't... You can't tell a hacker what to do. That doesn't work. You can't say, okay, well, you have to do this, and then you have to do that. No, that doesn't work. The way hackers do things like this is by convincing themselves that it's possible, by planting the doubt of the doubt in their mind and saying, well, you know, I totally could come up with a new way of launching a payload in space. And then they get their friends involved, and then they start talking. They reach out to their friends in industry who can provide them pointers the same way we do anything here, whether it's uncapping a microchip or reverse engineering and making a better way of building a solid fuel rocket. Really, it's technology, it's people, it's social engineering. It's a lot of different things and skills that we have and skills that we've built and continue to accelerate in building a gigantic community with these skills as we've done over the past 4 years. You know, right now, hackerspaces are a done thing. It's not even trivial. People have stopped asking me, people have stopped asking me basic questions on building a hackerspace because it's been done so many different times in so many different ways. And really, there is no excuse left, because any excuse you can throw up, I'll throw out 4 or 5 counterexamples off the top of my head, and you could probably find 100 more if you looked on hackerspaces.org. We have the infrastructure to be able to do this now that we have hackerspaces. And it's not something that I'm commanding people to do. It's just something that I believe is possible. And if other people, you know, believe that it's possible, they will realize it, and they'll realize it in their own way. And really, they're already working on it. You know, there were already hackerspaces all over the place, you know, maybe.
Yes.
You know, when back here at the camp in 2000, you know, it was a very sharp curve. You know, you have the long tail, and then you have the sharp exponential curve. Yeah, and right now, we're at the base of that jump when it comes to space exploration. For a long time, we've been dealing with the long tail, and I think this camp is the marking point where that quantum leap takes place.
Yeah, no. Now, you just made the point, this is going to happen. How do you think the regular industry will react? You know, what does NASA think? Would they help us? Would they fight it? Would they hate it?
I think they're going to react the same way that they reacted to the unmanned aerial vehicles that hackers created at 1/10,000th the cost. They're going to say, hey, where can we get that? How can we get involved? I honestly think that people in government, I mean, there's a friend of mine who works for NASA. He jumped, I mean, we've been meaning to catch up for a long time, and I've been busy running the Heralds, I've been busy running my village, I've been busy doing media for the Hackerspace program. And he said, hey, you know, NASA is open source. NASA would love to. NASA will pay you for any space data that you have. The first reaction that I got from actual government agencies is, how can we help? How can we collaborate? How can we work together? That's there. That's what's going to happen. And you see this in hackerspaces in Europe. The government does more collaboration with hackerspaces than they do...
fighting it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the same thing's going to happen with the hackerspace program.
Yeah. Hey, I want to have a little break and then talk about hackerspaces, what have reached in the last 4 years. There's been a tremendous explosion of hackerspaces in the Netherlands. And talk a little bit about that and the added value of it. But first... some music as interruption. and you're still listening to Binary Voice 92.6 FM, and of course through the stream. I swallowed a little bit too much on a cookie. I'm still talking to Nick Farr. Nick, we were talking about going to space first, but you can do more with the world, and we also can talk about hackerspaces. You've been calling out to get hackerspaces. Why on earth would we want to do that? Why on earth would we want to go to a hackerspace in the first place?
Why wouldn't you want to go to a hackerspace? There's so many wonderful things and wonderful communities all over the planet. You know, it's the one place where you have an incredibly gifted group of people getting together for a common goal of building, making, hanging out. Everybody, you know, sort of collectively doing something positive, doing something good. Hackerspaces are not like other collectives which might be isolating themselves, you know, shared commonality against the world. Hackerspaces are shared commonality for the world and how to make the world a better place in many, many tiny and large diverse ways.
Yeah, no, I'm a member of the Hackerspace in Arnhem, the Netherlands, and what I notice is that there's also a lot of awareness. What do we want to do with society? And people are very aware on where do we want to move society at. Are hackers taking over?
I don't think hackers have an interest in taking over. You know, I think the whole concept of taking over is something that, you know, falls into the standard paradigm of the, for lack of a better way of putting it, non-hacker. You know, I don't think hackers are concerned with, you know, gaining power or taking over the world. You know, hackers could take over the world if they wanted to, but they've got more interesting things to do with their time.
Yeah. One of the discussions in the Netherlands that is ongoing is we are getting to the limits of our society. Fuel is ending. You can't have like 3 cell phones a year forever. Are those things that happen in the US as well?
I don't think that we're nearly as focused on it. I think that, you know, due to some of what I consider unfortunate political circumstances, we think, you know, exploit, do more, drill, baby drill, that sort of thing. And I don't think people in the United States are focused on sustainability. And some hackers fall into that. I don't think most hackers do, you know, because hackers are not spending their time figuring out, okay, well, when is peak oil going to happen? They spend their time writing more elegant code, building beautiful hardware and figuring out brand new ways of doing things. I think that, you know, we as a society spend too much time focusing on these problems and not enough time figuring out how to fix them. And the people who spend their time figuring out how to fix them are hackers.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I mean. What hackerspace do you belong to?
I'm a member of HackDC in Washington, D.C., and I'm the hackerspace I call home currently is an allocated space in Severn, Maryland. We just opened up, I think, maybe 9 months ago. You know, it seems like not that long. But yeah, no, it's been 9 months already. And, you know, we've got a great loft. We're a really great group of partiers. You know, if you've ever partied with DC949 at DEF CON, it's that kind of crew and that kind of passion, that kind of enthusiasm that we bring to things at an allocated space. It's a great space to hang out. It's one of the best hangouts that I've ever witnessed. I've been to a lot of hacker spaces and I'm very proud of an allocated space.
Yeah. If somebody is uncertain from, should I be a member of the hacking community? And now it has sometimes also a very negative name. What would you say to them?
It's not something, you know, being a hacker is not like being a member of the Kiwanis Club or Rotary. It's not something where you go, you pay your dues, and then you get a membership card. It's something that you have to have a passion for. It's something that it comes from somewhere within, and I can't explain it. It just means that they're the kind of people that see an object and don't accept it at its face value. They're like, they want to know how it works. They want to know what other things they can do with it. They want to know how to break it. They want to know how to make it themselves. It's that certain kind of person, and I have really no idea where that comes from. I know there are people who say that they want to be hackers, and not because they want to really, really get a deep technical understanding of technical systems and create new and wonderful things with it, but because, like you said, there's the negative connotation to hacking where people think that it's committing crimes with computers. And, you know, there's certain people who, when they say hacker, think of somebody who commits crimes with computers. And that's not at all what it is. You know, as Andy of the CCC said, when your grandmother Oh, now I completely forgot what the quote was. When your grandmother uses a coffee maker to make hot water, that's hacking.
Yes.
You know, using a device for a purpose that you need it to fulfill without you're changing the nature of a device to make it work for you. It's just like when we were building our floor over there at the Hackers in the Plain Village. Somebody said, I can't do this without a level. You know, I need a level. I need something to do this. So we filled a Club Mate bottle half full of water, drew a line where the water line was. Boom, there. That's your level. It can even be two ways. You just draw a water level. You just draw a line on where the water level is on a level surface on the bottom of it, and you've got a two-way level. That's hacking. It's taking the resources that you have available and doing what you need them to do and what you believe them possible to do. And that kind of thing is happening in hackerspaces all over the place. And the great thing about hackerspaces is that they inspire people that have the talent, that have the capability to do it, but for whatever societal reasons don't feel like it's something that they can or should do.
Two final questions. What drives Nick? What drives you? What keeps you up at night?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things keeping me up at night here. All of them are wonderful, fortunately.
And then I'm sounding a lot like alcohol involved. I know.
Seriously, with all of the jobs that I have to run and all the things that I'm not doing, there's this blog post about the flow controllers here that I've had in draft status for most of the day that I really should push out, and I have. But you know, so many other things have happened. I really like helping people. That's basically what it comes down to. What I really like is seeing the look of satisfaction on somebody's face when I've been able to do something for them that makes their life better, whatever it is. That's what I really live for.
Final question. I know you as the mister in a suit. What's this with the beard?
Oh, okay. That actually goes back to my hackerspace. The founder of my hackerspace, CP, I mean, we're both co-founders, but there's always one, or not always, but most of the time there's one big driving force, you know, that everybody gets behind, and he's that. And we got into an argument one day, and I think the end conclusion of the argument was he said, you know, I'll bet you can't grow a beard for X, Y, Z reasons. And, you know, normally I'm in a profession where I have to shave and look presentable and do all the standard things like that. So I was really angry at him, and I said, look, challenge accepted. I will grow a beard until I can wrap the length of my beard around one of my fingers. And I think I'm only a couple of weeks away from that. So once that happens...
So this winter, because you're always at winter CCC, and that's the final question, then you'll have no beard at all.
I don't know. I guess it really depends on my girlfriend, you know? That's how those things kind of work.
That's kind of important. Nick Farr, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you so much for explaining all this. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback already through Twitter, through IRC, and also through Skype. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Believe it or not, but if you're at camp and you want a camper, a motorhome, totally for free, that is possible. Because if hackers believe stuff, it is really possible. I am looking at Gianluca and Luisa, and they have arrived from Italy. And they have a motorhome, a Mercedes 2400 diesel, born in 1982. But it broke down. It broke down 70 kilometers from Berlin. The engine crashed and they don't have the money to repair it. And they don't have the money to get the motorhome back to Italy. So they are giving it away for free. So if somebody can appreciate it and wants to repair the engine, go right ahead and have a lot of fun with it. If you want to have more information on that, you need to go to the Italian embassy or the Italian embassy. And there you ask for Gianluca or Luisa. And they will arrange the paperwork and everything that needs to be done. And if they aren't there, just leave a message and they will look back for you. But Luisa, is this really what you want to do?
Yes, it's real. We both this Heimer because we wanted to try a kind of life for free, but unfortunately the engine crashed and we don't have money to repair it. So the only thing we can do is to give for free to someone who have some money and have the love and the will to repair it and enjoy it.
And besides the engine, it's in a good state.
Yes, we spend a lot of money, believe me. If you don't want to use to go run and travel, you can use it for a home because it's very, very comfortable. The rare bed is a king size bed, and very comfortable, and I suggest to use it.
When did you get this?
Oh, on April. Yes, April this year. But we weren't very lucky. I don't have any other word to express what happened to us. It's not that I don't have many words in English. Even in Italian, I wouldn't be able to say what happened in the last 4 months. Just we bought it, we wanted to use it, but we weren't lucky because we spent money to repair something and then it broke back. And now when we arrived in Germany, we thought, okay, we're done. And then crashed again the engine because we made it the engine on April. So when it happened now, we said, stop, we can't afford to repair it again.
Gee, and how do you get home?
Oh, we have many, many friends and we have a lift with them by car.
Yeah, and where in Italy do you live?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Until a month ago, we used to live in Naples, but we decided to move, and then we'll come back again to live in Venice, Mestre.
Wow.
So our friends will bring back us to Mestre. It's just 1,000 kilometers.
It must be a very hard decision for you.
No. It's just that when we crashed the day before yesterday, we left the motorhome at this place and they said, okay, we can demolish. But when we arrived here, we saw that there are many people here who are able to use their hands. So probably some of them, I'm sure of that. We, Gianluca and I are sure of that. They will be able to repair and fix and enjoy it.
Absolutely. And we just spoke to Nick Farr and he told us that hackers only think what they can do and cannot do. So hopefully they can fix it. You can get your motorhome for free at the Italian embassy. And that is not an Italian joke.
No, it's not an Italian. No, it's not a joke. Believe me, it's not a joke. It's not.
Thank you so much for explaining all this. This is nearly the end of the show, and that means that we are going to look at tomorrow. We'll be back from 4 to 6, bringing you news again. Of course, having a live report from the court in The Hague, Netherlands, where Apple is fighting Samsung at the moment, trying to forbid the Samsung Galaxies, and we'll bring you the latest on that. We'll also be talking to the Dutch Forensic Institute, because they've got tools to grab things from your phone that you don't want them to grab from the phone. And we'll have a lot of hacker and lead speak, of course, going on. And even we are going to talk to a public prosecutor who is going after hackers in the Netherlands. So that will be a very interesting one. Now, one of the hackers that is being prosecuted or risks being prosecuted is me, myself. I'm facing 6 years imprisonment for showing that a transportation system in the Netherlands is a failing system. And I have decided to end each and every show with a little bit of resistance, making clear that I totally disagree on what is happening. So that's why I'm going to play every day a different version of Don't Fence Me In.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. My senses can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Spend each time I could afford, like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. Yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take this sentimental journey, sentimental journey home. Seven, that's the time we leave at seven. I'll be waiting up for heaven, counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back
don't fence me in, and that's really what I hope won't happen indeed to me. You've been listening to the news wrap-up of today. Tomorrow I'll be back. My name is Brenno de Winter. Right, in 15 seconds, Diggy and Stitch, and they are making a random, very random show. I would say, guys, have a lot of fun and make it worthwhile.
Thank you, Brenno. In the next 2 hours, you will be listening to Extremely Random Radio, and starting out with some really good red